to Melissa for that good job on the piano. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is what we'll be looking at today. Did we have a special? I didn't know. Okay. All right, good. I can get right into preaching, all right? Not that that's good. All right. Okay, we're going to have our young people slip out to go to their service. Beautiful kids today, always. Pray for our workers as they lead them as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Would you stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word? If you're able to do so, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1. Paul writes here, he says, "Finally, brethren," speaking to believers, he says, "pray for us." And by the way, Paul was always seeking prayer, wasn't he? In all of his writings, you'll find where Paul, most of everything, the way he would introduce, open up, would be to pray for me or pray for us. "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, spread rapidly, and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered or rescued from the unreasonable and wicked men, evil men, for all men have not faith." In other words, they oppose the gospel. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish, strengthen you, and keep you from evil," that is to protect you from evil, "and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patient or steadfast waiting for Christ." Let's pray. Father, we commit this word that we've read over to you and the reading of it. We thank you for the precious word of God today. We thank you, Lord, for the good service we've had thus far and the singing. And Lord, I just pray that we'll be listening intently with what you have for us today and have our hearts open to the Spirit's leadership. May we respond, Lord, and not just let it go in one ear and out the other, but truly allow our hearts to take in what you have for us today. And Lord, be with these that are here today, that maybe some are hurting today, some are carrying heavy burdens. Lord, I pray for those that, Lord, may be unsaved today, that they'd give their heart to you. Speak now, we pray, through your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I believe that that it's important that we call ourselves back to the Bible today. That's why I've entitled this message today, "Honor the Word of God." Honor the Word of God. I believe that what we find here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is laying out the importance of the Word of God, and that we need to spread it rapidly, as he says, with free course in verse number 1. You know, today all over the world, the Bible has been degraded, you might say, to a lower level, second position. Now that's sad, as we all can agree with that. You could go into a lot of churches even today and take the Bible out and they would never miss it. But I'm glad today that we are people of the book, the Bible. I'm glad today that we read the Bible. And I hope that is the case for many of you today, all of you. We're a church that preaches the Word of God. I'm glad that we can say that. I'm glad that we're a church that teaches the Word of God and that we believe the Word of God, that by God's grace we'll live by the Word of God. But even in a church like ours, we must be reminded, and it's important that pastors do this, and your pastor does this from time to time, that we're reminded of the fact that we must honor the Word of God. God's Word deserves honor. And that's what Paul is stressing here in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. Now, you know, unity is good, and I love unity. In Psalms 133, he says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I believe in unity, but not if it means that we must compromise the Word of God to have it. You know, I love the fact that love is grand, and we should love one another. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity," or love, "and the greatest of these is love. Peace is a glorious thing as well." I read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, says, "As much as possible," Paul says, "live peaceably among all men." But let me say it again. I believe that unity is necessary. I believe that love is necessary. I believe that peace is important. And all of these things we're hearing a lot of today in today's society. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say, unity and love and peace without the truth is an empty shell. You know, we need the truth of God's Word. We can promote love all we want. We can promote unity all we want. We can promote the peace that everybody needs to come together all we want. But if we chunk the truth, which is God's Word, and said it has no use in society, then really those words are just empty words. It's a fake. It's a farce. You know, we must have the truth. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall," what? "Set you free." Makes you free. That means without the truth, man is in bondage. So we honor God's Word today. We honor God's Word. We celebrate the Word of God, and we should, because it's a living book. And that's the first thing this morning we recognize. We honor God's Word by recognizing the fact that God's Word is a living book. In other words, it is alive. This book that you have before you is not dead. There's no other author that has that can take credit for the Word of God outside of God Himself. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick." That word "quick" in Hebrews 4:12 means it's living, it's alive. And it goes on to say, "And it's powerful." That means it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. The word discerner means it's a judge of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what does he mean? What is Paul saying there in Hebrews? In other words, God knows what we're thinking about today when we get into God's Word. Because God's Word, have you ever noticed when you open God's Word, sometimes you'll turn the passage, you scratch your head and think, "I wonder how that verse knew I was thinking that." Well, because God's Word is a living book. God knows what we're thinking, and so He speaks to us through His Word and what we need at that moment and that time. God's Word knows what we're planning and proposing, you know. God knows what we have intentions of doing. And even again, there are times where, you know, we're trying to plan things out and we're proposing things in our mind and we turn to God's Word and God lays sometimes the map out for us that we need to follow if we'll just follow His plan. And then God's Word reads our hearts today. So that's what Paul was saying, that God, He is the judge, He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. 2 Timothy, if you want to turn there real quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul writes here to young Timothy, reminding him to honor the Word of God, when he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if you have the Bible, then you have 66 books. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspired or inspiration there means it was inspired by God. It's accurate. You don't have to question whether this is the Word of God or whether it's real or man-made, whatever. But God's Word is an accurate book. Literally, it's that word inspiration means it's breathed out by God. So when Scripture speaks, the next time you open the Bible and you read it, it's not just words that just speaking out to you, but it's God literally speaking to us through His Word. That's what the word inspiration means, that God is speaking. Now, God didn't choose to come down and speak to us today in an audible voice. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't have to do that. Because this book that we have is a living book. And if we get into it and we truly pour our heart into it to seek God's message for us, then God will speak to us. God has given us the answers of all the problems that we have today in our society. They're there. They're answers to how to settle it. The problems that we have in our life, they're there. How to settle it. I mean, there are a number of things. How to make plans in life. How to set goals. God has laid it out clearly in His Word. Now, sometimes they don't jump out at us like we want it to do. The way we want answers. Because we try to coordinate things in our mind of how we expect God to answer. But God has a better plan than what we have because He's laid it out here. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then He goes on to say in that same passage, and it's profitable for doctrine, that is for teaching, for reproof. Now the word for reproof means for rebuke. We all need rebuking every now and then, right? Why? Because we're bad. Just be honest. You know, we think sometimes our kids are the ones that's bad. No, as adults, we're bad. And sometimes God has to correct our behavior. And the only way that God can correct our behavior, one of the ways that God corrects our behavior, our wrong behavior, or even wrong belief, is that Scripture begins to expose that sin to us. So that's why some people, when they get out of fellowship with God as a believer and they quit reading the Bible, a lot of times it's because they know if they get into it, then God's going to expose what's wrong. So we just close it up. We don't read it. Well, you know, we're doing nothing but hurting ourselves. We need to be in God's Word because it's a book that reproves. That is, it rebukes wrong behavior or wrong belief. And Scripture exposes sin. And then it says, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and then it says for correction. Now that word correction just simply means restoration. When we discipline our children in some way, whether it be to correct them and verbally or in other form of discipline, we're doing that to hopefully to restore them, you know, on the right path of life. That you learn from this and you don't do anything that will cause any further problems or whatever down the road, but restoration of something that God restores us to something that's of a proper condition. The idea of helping to get our feet back in place when sometimes we stumble, because God knows as a believer we're going to stumble. If we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1:9. So that verse alone lets us know that God knows we're going to stumble. So there's no perfect Christian here today. God has given us His Word to read it, young people to read it, so that when we do stumble that we can be corrected. But we need to be in God's Word. We need to set under teaching and preaching of God's Word for correction. Then He goes on to say for instruction. That word instruction is just a simple word that we define it as just simple training. God's Word is a positive book. You know, there's nothing negative about the Word of God. We sometimes interpret things negatively if it doesn't work out the way we want it. But God instructs us to, in a positive way, to train us positively. It's kind of like training a child. Now, we don't like to be disciplined. Kids don't like to be spanked or corrected. Nobody admits to that. I've never had any of my kids say, "Dad, okay, I did this, spank me." No. Boy, I'd fall over. We don't do it that way. But you know what? We do have to instruct them, right? We do have to train them. And it's important. We train them early. That's why sometimes parents get in trouble when they start trying to train their children at teenagers. It's too late. There's no training. That pyramid is already upside down. Listen, and so there has to be that early training so you can protect them and help them in life. And so all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, it says. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This book that we have before us is not written by men. Now, God did use over 40 men to pen the Word of God, but God spoke to them. You know what? God used their own personalities. In other words, you read the book of Acts, and Luke wrote that, and you can see Luke's personality in the book of Acts. But God spoke to him. God gave and told him exactly what to say, but God allowed his personality, Luke's personality, to come forth in that. And the same with the four Gospels and the epistles. We see the personality of Paul come out in his heartbeat, but yet it's all God speaking through these men. The Bible is an old book. The Bible is as old as time, but it's as new as tomorrow. It's as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is still right? It's a living book. It's alive. But you know what? There are men and women today spend their lifetimes searching the world for truth and overlook the very source of their quest when we find the answers right here in this book. Now, listen, the Bible ought to be honored simply because it's a living book. Secondly, it ought to be honored because God's Word moves freely. There are those who would like to shut the Bible out today. I mean, the ACLU has tried their best to get the Bible removed from our schools and prayer and all these other things. But let me say this, they're not going to be successful. You see, the Bible moves freely. It always has. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that is, spread rapidly and be glorified." The word glorified just simply means to be received with honor, even as it is with you. You see, in Psalm 147 and verse 15, the Bible says, "His word runneth very swiftly." It's like lightning. The word of God is not bound. Nobody can bind the word of God. You see, God's servants may be bound. Paul was bound. God's servants may be restricted. Peter was restricted, and Moses and others. But God's servants, they may be restrained, but the word of God runs freely. Why? Because it's preserved. God has preserved his word. There have been those who have thought that they have wiped it out, but it comes back again. Why? Because God's word is preserved. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "Wherein I suffer trouble," Paul says, that is hardship, "as an evildoer," or "as a criminal," Paul says, "even unto bonds or imprisonment." But Paul says in the latter part of verse 9, he says, "But the word of God is not bound." The word of God is not imprisoned. So thank God for that. That's something to give God praise. You know, the servant of God may be restricted, but the word of God is not bound. It's not imprisoned. Why? Because the word of God is a powerful book. It is. So I don't fear. You say, "Preacher, do you fear they're going to remove the Bible out of our nation?" They'll try. They're trying today. But listen, the word of God is preserved. It's going to always be around because it's a living book. You see, this wonderful book has climbed every mountain. This wonderful book called the Bible has crossed every ocean. It's sailed every sea. It's made its way across every desert. It has been in the grave, in the dungeon, and in the prison. But thank God it still lives as the living Word of God that moves swiftly in our hearts and in our lives. Now, I didn't live back in the 1500s, but if you lived back then you would recognize a lady by the name of Queen Mary. Queen Mary became known as Bloody Mary. Now, in her reign, back in the 1500s, in her reign of terror, actually, she went around and she began to confiscate, as the Queen of England, began to confiscate all the Bibles there in England. And so she thought, she gathered all the Bibles, she took all the Bibles and she burned every Bible that was confiscated. Her purpose was to get rid of the Bible. She thought she had destroyed the Bible by doing so. But thank God, I have one this morning. Do you? She didn't destroy the Bible. But you see, destroying a Bible, taking the book and burning it, or slicing it up or destroying it in some way, does not destroy the Word of God. You see, it doesn't destroy the Bible any more than if I took every picture there is of you and destroyed all your pictures. That would not mean that I have destroyed you as a person, would it? You see, so men and women today try to destroy the Bible, but they cannot destroy the Word of God. It won't destroy the Word of God because it moves swiftly and indestructibly. Because God's Word is preserved. It's powerful. God's Word is alive. It's a living book. It's not just sometimes we'll take the Bible and we'll throw it in our car seat or we'll throw it on the table. And, you know, be honest with you, on my desk I have two or three Bibles usually at a time laid out. And I'm a little bit peculiar in some ways. You probably already picked up on that. I am, especially when it comes to the Word of God. I mean, I can sit there and, boy, my phone will ring and boy, I have a tendency to go to lay it down. And I realize I'm about to put it on the Word of God. I'm a little bit peculiar that. I respect the Word of God to know that, hey, I'm not going to pile a bunch of junk on top of the Word of God. You know, for some people, say, well, that's not a big deal, preacher. Well, for me, I just think the Word of God it needs to be honored, not to be worshipped, we'll see that in a moment, but to be honored to the point to where, it's a living book. It's when I open the Word of God, I can know that God's going to speak to me as the Holy Spirit reveals His truth to me through the Word of God. And it's a living book. God's Word moves freely. It'll never be destroyed. And then we find back in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul in the latter part of verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that is spread rapidly, and be glorified. The word glorified just simply means to be honored. That God's word is to be honored. Now, as I said a few moments ago, we don't worship the Bible, and I don't want you to think that, boy, preacher's really going a little far with this. I'm not advocating to take the Bible and set it in front of you every day and bow down and worship the Bible. Because we don't worship the Bible in that way. But we worship the blessed subject of the Bible. The one who is the author and who, the preserver of the Word of God. This book, this library of 66 books brought together by the Holy Spirit has as its subject the matter of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so His blood stains every page when you read the Bible. His handprint is on every verse when you read the Bible. All the Bible is really entails about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's what it's promoting. He is the living Word, Jesus is. John talks about that. If you read in the Gospel of John, He is the Word. The first chapter talks about the Word, capital W-O-R-D, speaking of Jesus is the Word. From the very beginning, Jesus was referenced in Genesis. All the way, all throughout the Bible, Jesus is made known as the living Word. God's Word is not to be worshipped, but God's Word is to be the supreme authority. There's no appeal beyond Scripture. God's Word is to be the supreme authority. And even in our land that we live in today, and I know this goes against the grain of what we're hearing today, but God's Word should be the supreme authority in our land today. And that's where we have failed as a nation. We've stopped honoring the Word of God. And by the way, there's no higher source of authority than the Word of God, is there? I mean, there can be edicts given, there can be laws passed or proclamations made, but there is no appeal beyond, there is no authority higher than the Word of God. Not even the laws of this land. Now, we're obligated to respect the laws of this land. We're not obligated to abide by every law that's written in this land, especially if it goes against the Word of God, and that's where we draw the line. Because we're living in a day and time where we're told, what are you going to do here? Are you going to stand by man's laws or God's law? Well, I know where I'm going to stand. Listen, I know where this preacher's going to stand when it comes to preaching the whole counsel of God. Listen, we're already being threatened as preachers. It's out in some state out west this past week. They were already told, hey, you better line up, get your churches all in place, because you're going to have the transgender bathrooms in your churches out there. Now, I'm going to tell you, there won't be any transgender bathrooms here. There just will not be. And we're not going to condone homosexuality as a lifestyle that's acceptable, or any other lifestyle, whether, you know, adultery, anything. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And so we're not looking where some say, well, you're putting more emphasis on one than the other. Well, right now that's what society is doing. But when you read the Bible, there's been adulterers, there's been rapists and all kind of immorality, and we don't condone that. You know, we're going to be asked to accept child molesters in our churches today. They call them something else, I guess, today. There's another terminology. But listen, as this is leading up to, in other words, there'll be no sin in our society when God has spoken against sin. So where do you draw the line? I'm asked by bus mechanics. They draw me in sometimes. Well, I drive a school bus for Tall County, and they listen to the news. And so first thing, they draw me in there. Well, preacher, how are you going to handle this at church? I said, well, you come Sunday and you'll hear how I handle it. You come Sunday, and they'll just laugh a little bit just like you did. But I mean that. I'm not trying to sound arrogant. Listen, I think there's a way that we handle this as preachers, and we better handle it delicately, but also we've got to honor God's Word by preaching the whole counsel of God. We're told we better pick and choose what we're saying, because what I've just said a few moments ago is going to be considered by most preachers as hate crime. It's already been drawn up how we're going to word this. But it's coming down, and so what is it going to come down to? Are we going to stand with the Word of God and honor God's Word, or are we going to go with man's laws? Well, I know where I'm going to stand. And I there's no appeal beyond this Word. You see, the rich man in hell learned that. He asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house because he had five brothers and he didn't want to see them go to hell. And Luke chapter 16 and verse 27 says, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Look in verse 29. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know, if men will not believe this wonderful, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, they'll not believe if one were to rise from the dead, would they? There's no hope for men and women who don't believe the Word of God, because the Word of God is the final authority. You see, it starts with the Word of God. I didn't get saved because, I went outside one day and I looked at the trees and I thought, there must be a God. Now, I may have thought that, but you know how I came to know Christ is when someone presented the Word of God to me and showed me that I was a sinner. Now, it wasn't that somebody made that up, but that's what the Bible spoke to me about. And I praise God for that. You know, we need to get back to the Word of God. Would you agree with that? Oh, listen, we need to get back to the Word of God. Some books inform, some books reform. But only the Bible is going to transform. And that's what it's going to take for our nation, is that preachers, as I said last week, get back to preaching the Word of God and the whole counsel of God, because that's what transforms lives. That's what Paul is saying here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We need to get back to this great book, back to the basics, back to the preaching of the Word, back to honoring the Bible. Give God's Word its place that He gave it and that He magnified it above all other names. Listen, the Word of God ought to be honored. But yet we're told it needs to take a back seat. Ted Turner, who founded CNN, or Ted Turner Network years ago, I watched him one day say on television years ago, he got up and he literally said these words, that the Bible is out of date. Now, Ted Turner's a millionaire, and he had a lot of influence back in his day. And when he got up and made that statement, obviously that was a very controversial statement, because, what he was saying is that we don't need the Bible anymore. It's out of date. It's old-fashioned. And a lot of people look at the Bible that way. And sometimes, that's the way it's even preached today. You've got very little preaching now in some churches today because they don't want to preach against sin. You see, listen, sin is part of the Word of God and is something that, again, if corrected, can change our life and make us better. But yet, we're told today that we don't preach against sin. Because if you want your crowds to get bigger and you want your churches to flourish, then just preach messages that will basically tickle people's ears and folks will just come running. And that's happening in some of your larger mega churches where they're not preaching the Word of God. And that's not all of them. I'm not trying to whitewash every one, but many that we're seeing today. Listen, we need to get back to honoring the Word of God, don't we? And the way that we do that is preach the whole counsel of God. Now, lastly, we honor God's Word because God's Word separates. God's Word separates. Now, that word separation can be a negative term, and it's according to how you use it. But in this case, it's a positive thing. And God's Word does separate. God's Word must be used to separate good men from evil men. Because sometimes it's hard. It's hard for our teenagers. It's hard for adults even to know what's good and bad. Because the devil likes to come along and he likes to pretty things up and he likes to come as an angel of light sometimes. And be honest with you, unless you're in God's Word, you're not going to know what's truth and what's a lie sometimes. That's why it's important that we stay in God's Word, because God's Word is the only thing that can reveal what's of good and what's evil. But sometimes we'll pick it up when we go to church on Sunday because I know that the preacher's going to want us to have our Bibles and so forth. And that shouldn't be the reason why we carry the Bible to church, right? But yet, sometimes that's the only time that many Christians, even today, will read the Word of God. And yet, we sometimes wonder. And you know what? Hillary Clinton will not become president of the United States if God's people will wake up. I tell you, you say, preacher, you're talking politics now. I am. Don't vote for her. Okay? Don't vote for her.
That's right.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not worried about what the government's going to say about the preacher doing this. Matter of fact, I'll be legal. Don't vote for her. I'm not supposed to stand behind the pulpit and say that. Listen. Now, I know we don't have a whole lot of choice in Trump. But let me say this as well. I'm not going to sit at home and say, well, I'm not going to vote. If I choose to do that, I'm voting for Hillary. I made the choice. Now, you can scold me later if you want and give me a good reason why that would be the case. But I'm telling you, right now, your preacher's voting for Trump, not because I agree with him on everything, because I don't. But I tell you what, I know where Hillary's going to take this country. I know where she's headed. Not because she's female or whatever. Has nothing to do with it. She ought to be in jail. Be honest with you. But I'm meddling. I know that. How do I know that? Because God's Word said so. God's Word said so. God separates. I know what's good and evil. Now, we're not going to find perfection out there, but I do know this. Miss Hillary, she gets in office. You think the Supreme Court's going to be loaded with liberals today? We won't have any more conservatives there. I'm not afraid, by the way. By the way, she may very well be our next president, because that may be part of God's plan to come quickly. And if that is so, then so be it. But I'm not going to help her out. Now, all that said, God's Word must be used to separate good men from evil. The only way we'll know the difference in how to vote or how to live life is to get into God's Word. In verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul said, not all men have the faith. Well, we know that, right? Not all men have the faith. But God uses good men to do good things, and Satan uses evil men to do evil things. But here's a tragedy. Some good people allow Satan to use them to oppose the work of Christ. In other words, they're in good people in churches every day. If not careful, we can even be used as a tool of the devil and not even realize it. And the very reason that is, and I think it's the problem in our society today, is because we're not in the Word of God. We're not honoring God's Word. And so that's why the question is, well, should I vote this way? Or there should be no... Listen, just get in God's Word. God will give you the answer. How to vote. You know, and I'm on this voting thing because it's coming up quickly. I mean, next week you're going to hear about conventions and you're going to hear about vice presidents and so forth. And listen, we just because we're angry because our perfect one didn't get in... chose doesn't mean we're going to sit back and pout a while. Listen, we better wake up as God's people. And honor God's Word. Get in God's Word. God will show us what's right. The Apostle Peter allowed the devil to use him. Yeah, Peter was used of the devil. Peter was used of the devil to oppose the work of Christ. And when he rebuked Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 22, and notice what Jesus' response in verse 23 was. Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Sometimes even good people like Peter, our intentions may be right, but we can be used of the devil to oppose the work of God. Can you imagine this happening? Peter taking the Son of God and rebuking him. Christ rebukes him as Satan, he said. Because he said that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Peter isn't alone. You know, many times good people get in the place where they allow themselves to be used to oppose the work of Christ. Good people get upset sometimes and leave the church. By doing that, for the wrong reasons, is opposing the work of Christ. Good people give up quitting. They give up and quit serving God, but just simply because they're tired of serving, and you know, and so by doing so, then we oppose Christ. We've all been there, maybe a time or in our life. Good people get into financial problems, and they quit tithing, or they never begin tithing, and so by doing so, they oppose the work of Christ. Good people believe the lies of the world. And there's a bunch of them out there. And some of them really try to suck you in. And we have to be careful. But good people believe the lies of the world and the devil rather than trusting the precious Word of God. By believing those lies, we find ourselves opposing the work of Christ. God's Word must be used to separate. Because sometimes it's hard to decipher what's right and what's wrong. Not if you're in God's Word. Not if you're in God's Word. Listen, God's Word is plain enough, clear enough to where, listen, all we've got to do is seek God for the answers. And when I go to vote or whatever, listen, I know what to do because God's Word shows me. It reveals the truth to me. God's Word is a living book. It moves freely. And I got on this voting thing, but there's more to it than that. That's living life in general, making decisions in life. You know, God's Word will reveal to us how to make those tough decisions in life, who to marry sometimes or whatever. God's Word is alive. It'll move freely. It's the supreme authority in our lives. It will separate good from evil. God's Word must be used to do God's work. You know, it is foolish for us to try to do the work of God without the Word of God. Can you imagine me getting up here today and trying to preach without the Word of God? By the way, there are some preachers who do that today. I mean, I'll be honest. Might as well just be nothing but the Lions Club meeting today. To say, hey, I'm not going to preach out of the Word of God today. I'm going to read a bunch of poems. By the way, we'd get a crowd out for stuff like that. Oh, listen. Paul's confidence in the believers at Thessalonica, he says, and we have confidence that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Can that be said of us? Have we put our faith in the Christ of the Bible, trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our salvation? Is that something you've done today? I hope it is. If not, you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment to invite the Lord in your heart. God's Word is a living book. Aren't you glad that it is? Oh, it stands on its own. I don't have to go out here and defend it to anybody. I don't have to defend to our president or any other politician why I believe this book, because God's Word stands on its own. And you know what? I know in the end what it says. I've already read the end of the book. And I will be okay. Are you? I mean, really, in the book says that God's going to rapture His children out of here. And it may not be too long. And I'm okay in that area because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have you? Then we need to honor God's Word by sharing that to others and proclaim it on the rooftop. Man, we need to let people know that Jesus is alive. And the only way that we can do that is to proclaim the Word of God. Because that tells us all that we need to know to live life. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians praying.